Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We're going to continue talking about diligence tonight. We looked at the word diligence in the original Hebrew language, and we saw that one of the meanings of it is decision, choice, a strict, firm decision. It also means sharp. You know, when somebody's being diligent, they're sharp. Actually, it says razor sharp. So, you know, you look at somebody and say, man, they're sharp. They dress sharp. They talk sharp. Man, they're just sharp. In other words, they got it together. Well, that's what diligence means, sharp. Determination is another word. A person that's diligent is determined, eager. And over in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and talking about decision-making, making choices, I'm reminded of what Joshua said. When he said in verse 15 of Joshua 24, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You know, who we serve is a daily decision. He says, choose. You got to choose who you're going to serve. Whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Makes a nice plaque, that scripture. We have it right on our mantle at home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have people on board with that. That your desire is to serve yourself. Be self-serving. No, to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. And serving the Lord is at the root of our being diligent. Remember we talked about Romans chapter 12, verse 11, where it says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. And we talked about, when we're talking about serving the Lord, we're talking about doing something out of a heart of love. If we're doing things just for ourselves, loving ourselves, that's what the world does. That's not what you and I do. We don't serve ourselves. We serve the Lord. And so serving Him is serving with a heart of love. And of course, that love, God's love in us, is passionate. It's fervent. And that's why this all goes together. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. How can we be that way? How can we be not lagging in diligence and fervent in spirit? The next part of it, serving the Lord. Because when we're doing things as unto Him, out of a heart of love for Him, then we're going to be fervent, we're going to be passionate. So love is key to diligence. Love is key. You've got to love what you're doing or what or who you're doing it for. You know, I've heard people say, very successful people in the world, they don't necessarily know the Lord, and they talk about you got to love your job. If you're going to be diligent with your work, you got to love your job. You got to love and have a passionate, for your company to succeed. Have you ever heard anything like that before? You know, because again, that's what causes people to get up and go and get things done. That's what causes them to be aggressive and diligent because they love what they're doing. They have a passion for what they're doing. Well, we have a passion for who we're doing what we're doing for. See, our passion is not so much in the thing that we're doing, but in whom we are doing it for. He is our passion. We're not passionate to make money. Now, there are people that are passionate about making money, having nice things. I mean, they're passionate about it. They are determined they're going to have nice things. They love things. They love money. And therefore, they're very diligent. But that's not at the root of our diligence. Our diligence is a love for the Lord. It's out of a heart that wants to serve Him and give Him all that we can, to give Him our very best. A lot of people, they're diligent because they love not just money, but there's people that love the praises of men. They love the praises of men. They look for people to commend them, pat them on the shoulder. They love being promoted in the sight of other people. There's some people that just can't stand being demoted in front of other people or other people outdoing them. And so they're passionate about succeeding. For what reason? That they might receive praises from men. That's not the root of our diligence. Some folks are passionate in what they do because they're passionate for power. There's a lot of people that are passionate for power, to have authority and power over other people. That's not the root of our passion. That's not the root of why we do what we do with such passion and fervor. We do it because we're passionate for the Lord. We love Him. We're not looking for praise. We're not looking for power, prestige. We're passionate for the Lord. That is the root of our diligence. So if you're going to be a diligent person, you got to be a passionate person. And your passion is your serving the Lord, wanting to please Him. And when you think about what He's done for you, when you think about think about how passionate He was for you and I when He came here, took on flesh and blood, and then bore our sins in His own body and went to that tree and suffered an awful death. And He did it because He was passionate for you and I. So when we think about that, that should stir up a passion in our hearts to want to give back to Him. I want to get up in the morning and give God my best. I don't want to just get up and exist. He didn't create me to exist. He wants me to bear fruit for Him. He wants me to glorify Him. He wants me to please Him. And I'm going to do it. Bless God, I'm going to do it. Well, you see, with that kind of attitude, we're going to get some things done. Things are going to happen because of that passion, because of that fervent spirit to want to serve the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 30, which is a lot like Joshua 24:15, it says in verse 19, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. This is a tough one. Life, death, blessing, or cursing. Choose life. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Now, the answer seems real simple, doesn't it? You choose life. That's what you choose. Why would you choose death? Why would you choose a curse? And yet, you know what? The Bible tells us in Joel chapter 3, verse 14, that multitudes are in the valley of decision. They're in the valley of decision. They're not sure whether or not they should serve the Lord or serve something else. They're not sure whether they should choose life or the way that leads to death. They're not sure if they should choose the word of God and the blessings of God, the promises of God, or choose a life of curses. Now, that sounds crazy, but yet it's true. Multitudes haven't made up their mind yet. When they get out of the bed in the morning, they still have not yet chosen whether or not they're going to fully serve the Lord or not. They're wishy-washy. They're undecided. They're unsure. And the way you can tell whether or not someone's unsure or not is by their diligence, by their passion, by their fervor to seek the Lord, to know the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to please the Lord. A lot of folks don't have that zeal. They don't have that fire. They don't have that passion. They don't have that diligence that causes them to get up in the morning or whenever and spend time in the Word of God and pray and seek the face of God. They don't have that. Why? Because they're undecided. That is the reason. They're not sure who they're going to serve today. They're still undecided. Sometimes folks get up and they make a decision. This is what I'm going to do. They start seeking the Lord. But then the next day, next thing, it all slips. And now once again, they're back into, I'm not sure. I'm trying. If I find some time, you know, I'm busy. They're undecided. They're in the valley. God hasn't created us to live in valleys. He wants us to live on the mountaintop. The valley is the shadow of death. Let's get up in the sunlight. Let's get up there in the brightness of God's glory. Let's see our God. Let's walk with our God. Let's hear from our God. Let's walk in His will for our life. Let's know the will of the Lord and let's follow Him. We don't want to be these wishy-washy folks. Multitudes of people are there. Wishy-washy. Undecided. They're not sure. They're what the Bible calls double-minded. Double-minded. James chapter 4, verse 8. And before I read this, let me ask a simple question. Who is this epistle of James written to? Is it written to the heathens that have never been born again, never got saved? No, we know it's written to God's people, right? Notice what he says here in verse 8. He says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. These are folks that have two minds. It's like, I want to serve the Lord, but I want to serve myself. It's double-minded. They're back and forth. It's the valley. It's the valley of decision. It's that place where they're still undecided. They know what they should do, but then they want to do this. Well, I do some of that, but then they're in this valley. They're in this valley. You can't live a diligent, successful, prosperous life and be sharp if you're going to live in the valley. You're going to be dull. You're going to be as dull as a piece of wood. That's what you're going to be. So that's not us, right? We cleanse our hands and we're done with that mess. And we're going on with Him. We purify our hearts, and our hearts are on fire for Jesus. We're excited about what He's done for us, and we owe Him a debt of gratitude throughout all eternity. We're going to serve Him with everything we have. We're going to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Some people, they climb the mountaintop, and then they fall back into the valley. And they're back to being undecided again. I'm talking about Christians. Thank God that's not you and I. We're going up and we're not looking back. Say, I'm going up and I'm not coming down. I'm not looking back. Going forward. Going for full throttle. Wham. Engines roaring. That's you and I. That's who we are, man. Full throttle. We're going forward. James chapter 1, verse 8. He says, in talking about prayer and asking things of God, he says, but let him ask. This is verse 6, actually. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, or we could say an undecided man. Look at it that way. A man who has not made the decision to fully believe God, to fully trust the Lord. He's undecided. And therefore, being undecided, he is unstable in all his ways. Well, if he's unstable in all his ways, then he's probably not going to get much done in life. And we're talking about being diligent. We're talking about getting things done. But if a person is unstable in all their ways, then they're not getting much done. They're not getting ahead. You know, they take 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. They're like a wave of the sea. They're tossed and they're driven and they're pushed around. They're moved around by the circumstances. But you know, over in John chapter 3, I believe it is, John 3, Jesus said, talking about being born again, talking about born again believers. He said, those who are born of the Spirit, those who are born of the Spirit are like the wind. John 3, verse 7. He says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. I like that. The wind blows where it wishes. Sounds like the wind's in control. It does whatsoever things it desires. It blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? He says, if you're born of the Spirit, he said, you're like the wind, going where you wish, getting done what you want to get done, doing the things you want to do. You're not stuck. You're not being pushed around and being forced to do this or do that, or being held back from doing this or that. You do what you wish, you get done what you desire to get done. You're like the wind. He said, but the undecided person is unstable in all his ways. It says he is like a wave of the sea, tossed and driven, or we can say kicked around, by the wind. So the wind is in charge, and the wave is a victim of the wind. The wind decides what it's going to do. It says today, we're going this way. The wind gets up and says, whatever the wind says, wherever the direction the wind's blowing, that's where I'm going. The waves. The waves say, wherever the wind's blowing, that's where I'm going. Because the wave is not in control. It's double-minded. It's undecided. But the wind goes where it wishes. It has made its decision. It has made its decision. So don't be like a wave of the sea, tossed and driven, but be like the wind and make your decision. Praise God. Make your decision. Being undecided causes you to delay and become tossed around by whatever comes your way. We don't want to be just tossed around by whatever happens today, whatever comes our way. You know, we're just kind of a victim of whatever happens. Stuff happens. And we just get pushed around, and that's a lot how people's days go. But that's not how it should be for you and I. We are born of the Spirit. We have the authority of the name of Jesus. We are kings and priests unto our God. We rule. We dominate. We are in control. We're in control. because we're under his authority. Because Jesus is our Lord. That puts us in authority. When we submit to his authority, it puts us in authority in this life. Whoo, glory to God. Man, I'm all in. I'm getting more in just talking about it. Is this anybody getting excited about getting all in? I mean, we're going to get out of this wave mentality. This getting pushed around mentality by the circumstances of life. We're taking charge. We're taking charge. How do we do it? Well, we make our decision. What's the first decision we need to make? I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to work for the Lord. What do you go to work for? So he says, well, I work for money, of course. But no, he says, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve money, and you can't serve the Lord. You got to make a decision. Which one are you going to serve? A lot of times when money starts screaming, people start bowing. People start fearing, and they start their worshiping, and they start changing everything in order to get that money, to follow money. But you see, that's because they're unsettled. They're unsettled in their decision to follow and serve the Lord. We got to be settled. Remember, what's a diligence? Diligence is a strict, firm decision. A very firm decision. It's being settled. That's what it means to, when you look up the word decide, it means to settle on. You've settled on something. You've made a decision. You've settled on something. And settled means established, set. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 10, it says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. This is what God is wanting to do in our life. If we will suffer through times of tribulation, times of persecution, whatever kind of suffering might come, if we will press through it, stay in faith, stay committed to the Lord, what's going to happen? We're going to find ourselves becoming more established in the plan of God for our life, more established in the Word of God, and more settled in our souls. And this is key to being diligent, because diligence means to decide. And to decide means to settle on something, to be settled, which means to be established and set. And so we want to become more set, more settled. A wave is not settled. A wave can be just calm one day, you know, be calm in the morning. You go out to the beach, you know, and in the morning it's just as still as can be. And in just a couple hours, next thing you know, it's getting tossed all over the place. Winds are kicking it up, and the waves are getting tossed all over the place. See, it's unsettled. It's unsettled. It doesn't know what end is up. It doesn't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen next? Being pushed around. But that's not you and I. We believe God. We trust him. We take him at his word. Even though circumstances rise up that may seem to contradict what God promised us, we still hang on to the promise of God. Why? Because he's faithful. Hallelujah. We believe in his faithfulness. And so we stay in it. We stay in the faith fight. And as we do, there might be some suffering involved in that. But what's happening to us? Praise God, we're becoming more established, strengthened, and settled, which means more diligent, more able to make decisions. Not over here confused about what to do next. We can make our decisions. We are decisive. If you're a settled person, you're a decisive person. You're a person that's established, you're confident, you know what to do, you know what not to do. You know where you're coming from, and you know where you're going. Nobody else might, like the wind, but you know. You know where you're coming from, and you know where you're going. That word settle here in 1 Peter 5:10 in the Greek language, it means lay a foundation, ground, make stable. Remember the double-minded man? He is unstable in all his ways. But here, the Bible's talking about us becoming more and more settled or more and more stable, firm, fixed, solid. We need to be grounded, have deep roots in God, in his plan for our life. There's just certain things that we know. We're fixed in it. We're not confused about it. We're established in it. How do we get there? By continually moving forward with what you know is true. By continually moving forward, doing what you know to do. And there's some things people know what to do, but they just don't do it half the time. They know what to do. Well, I shouldn't do that, but they do it. Well, I know I shouldn't. Why are you doing it? They're not just simply continuing to move forward doing what they know to do. If we would just stay with it, if we would just stay steady, what would happen? We would become more stable, more solid, more diligent. We'd become very, very diligent people. Diligence is a continual moving forward with what you know to do. And that's how you get things done. A lot of times, you know, you see these big things happen and you think, you know, wow, you know, what did it take to get these big things to happen? And really, in so many cases, it was just people being steady, just staying in their lane. Just staying in their lane, man. Not getting out of their lane. Not pulling over at a rest stop and doing something goofy and then having to find their way back on track again. They just stay on track, stay in their lane, they just do those things, basic things. They do the basic things. They do the little things, right? Didn't he say, be faithful in the little things? What's going to happen? Big things are going to happen. Next thing you know, you're going to be ruler over big things, many things, mighty things, not just in heaven, but in this life. It's a spiritual law. It's a principle. Stay steady. Stay faithful in the little things. And that's how we get there. That's how we get to our destination. But so many times people panic along the way. They get under pressure. Things aren't happening fast enough. They try to come up with some other system of doing things. They change things differently from what they have always known to do. And they get off course. They mess things up. They set themselves back. People have to learn to just stay on board with Jesus. Just continue to move with Jesus. Just the day to day, doing those things that you know to do. And number one, loving him. Listening to him. Leaning on him. That's a daily thing. Every day, loving on Jesus. Listening to Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Following him. Obeying him. Doing those things we know to do. And as we do the things we know to do, watch this, we'll know what we need to know. In other words, we'll know what decisions need to be made. When decisions need to be made. How can we know what decisions to make? Well, make sure you're doing the things you already know to do. And then when it comes time to make another decision, you'll know what you need to know about that decision, when you need to know it, if you're doing what you know to do, if you're in your lane and doing those basic things. That's how we get there. Praise God. That's how great things happen. That's how big things happen. Just staying steady, staying steadfast. Just continuing on with the Lord. And that's what he's building us. He's settling us. That's all part of that word settle. He's settling us. Settling us, making us stable, firm, fixed, so that we're not unstable anymore. An unstable person isn't getting much done. They're getting bounced around. They might have a lot going on. That doesn't mean a lot's getting done. Some people pride themselves on a lot going on. I got so much going on. I got so much going on. They want everybody to know, I got so much going on. But what's getting done? What's actually getting done? You know, it's like the illustration my wife has used, you know, about sitting in a rocking chair. You know, there's a whole lot of movement going on, but nobody's going anywhere. You know, you get on that swing, and you just swing back and forth, swing and swing and swing. A lot going on there, a lot of moving around. Nobody's going anywhere. That's not being diligent. That's being a mess. That's being a mess, just running around, unsure of what's next, panicking. Thank God he's delivered us from it. Praise God, he's given us his spirit. We're born of his spirit. We're no longer like the wave. Bless God. If your life is resembling a wave, you need to say, hey, look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, you've been born of God. You've been born of the spirit. What are you doing acting like a wave? You're the wind. You've made your decision. As for me and my house, I've made my decision. I'm going to follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to read the word. We're going to feed on God. We're going to lean on Jesus. We're going to love the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to get to know him. We're not going to backslide for a couple hours. We're not going to backslide for a couple hours, couple days, couple weeks, and then go, you know, I really need to get back to church. Thank God we can get back to church, but that's not how we're going to live. Let's get back there and let's just stay there. Let's stay with the Lord. Let's continue to press in and follow him. Can you say amen? Praise God. Being decisive or being good at making decisions is key to being diligent, being sharp, being decisive. Well, how do we do it? Well, let's just recap some keys to decisiveness. Number one, going back to the teaching on laziness, you got to recognize laziness is a spirit. Take authority over it. Take authority. Because that lazy, that spirit, remember it's called the spirit of heaviness? It'll come in, it'll cloud your mind and hinder you from being able to make decisions. Take authority over it. Put on the garment of praise, like the Bible says, for that spirit. You start feeling cloudy in the mind, can't make a decision, take authority over that devil. Number two, live your days as unto the Lord. In other words, choose to serve him. This is key to being a decisive person. Loving him, serving him is the root of our being decisive in life. And love sees clearly. Love sees clearly, right? We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It talks about when that which is perfect has come, then we'll be able to see and know even as we're known. He's talking about love. Love is the perfect. When that comes, we'll be able to see clearly. So love helps. Love clears our mind of all the clutter and all the clouds. Self-seeking creates confusion. We see that over in James chapter 3. Where self-seeking exists, there's confusion and every evil thing will be there, the Bible says. So let's get out of the self-seeking. Let's just stay over in love, serving the Lord. Then number three, be set in your ways concerning spiritual things, concerning the word of God. Be set. Be settled. This is what we do. I seek the Lord. This is what I do. I spend time in the word. I pray. Go to church. I'm obedient to what God tells me to do. That's the foundation. I said, that's the foundation for us being decisive, be able to make our decisions in life so that we can move forward and advance and accomplish and carry out great things for the kingdom of God. Remember what it says over in Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Everybody say settled. So remember we were talking about being settled. He wants to settle you, right? Establish you. Forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven. But you know what? God wants that word it's settled in heaven. You know why heaven is so wonderful? Because the word is settled there in everybody's heart and everybody's mind. Nobody's double-minded about the word. Nobody's double-minded about God in heaven. Nobody's struggling with their walk with the Lord in heaven. Nobody's undecided. Nobody's sure what they're going to do when it comes to the Lord in heaven. They all know what they're doing in heaven when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to his word. It's settled there. And that's why heaven is heavenly. That's why heaven is so wonderful. But he wants us to have days of heaven on earth. He wants God's will for us to be done on earth just like it is in heaven. How's that going to happen? His word has to be settled on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is heavenly because the word is settled there. If you want heaven on earth, if you want heaven in your life, then the word has to be settled on earth in your earthly life. A lot of folks don't have it settled. Let's get it settled. Settled in heaven, it's settled in me. Why don't you say it? Say, God's word settled in heaven. And it's settled in me. Here on the earth. I'm settled. I'm settled on it. I've decided. I've made a firm decision. It's done. This is who I am. This is what I'm all about. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. No turning back. No turning back. Hallelujah. I don't care what kind of demonic attack would try to come. I'm not turning back. Woo, hallelujah. Man, you get it settled like that and watch out. Watch out. You're going to get some things done. Things are going to happen in your life. Your mind's going to be clear. You're going to know what to do when you need to know. And you're going to see things happening. Praise God. There's going to be things just progressing and moving forward and advancing. A little here, a little there. Until finally you're ruler over much. Great things are happening. Can you say amen? So decisions or decision making gets easier as you do what you know to do. So being diligent, diligence, decision. You got to be good at making decisions if you're going to be diligent. And decisions, making decisions gets easier as you do what you already know to do. It's already settled. You're already decided. The more you do what you know to do, the easier it becomes to know what to do. Proverbs 29, verse 18. This is going back to a week or two ago, where we looked at Proverbs 29, 18. It said, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. In other words, they lose their discipline. They lose their self-control because of a lack of revelation. We need to be hearing from God. We need to walk in the light of revelation. Walk in the light of revelation. We need to be asking God for revelation. Get hungry for revelation. Get excited about revelation. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Man, we need that light. That light helps us to make decisions in life. We've got to walk in revelation light. So we got to ask God. You know, this is what the Apostle Paul over in Ephesians chapter 2 prayed for the church at Ephesus, but he prayed it by the Holy Spirit. So if it was a prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray back then for the church at Ephesus, then we could take hold of it and pray it for ourselves today. And the prayer was that God would grant to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Because if we lack revelation, we lose our vision and we cast off restraint. We lose our discipline. And thus there is no diligence. And so we don't go anywhere. So we need light. We need revelation so that we remain disciplined, diligent in life. And then, of course, Habakkuk said concerning vision, he said, write the vision down. Write it down. Make it plain. Make it plain. You know, you got to put your tasks on paper. You know, if there's things you know to do, put it in your iPad or something like that. But you write it down. Write it down. Write down the things you need to do. Write down the things you want to do. Write things out. Put it in front of you. Have your checkoff list. Put your vision in front of you. Put your goals in front of you. So they're always before you. And then by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish those things. Don't just rely on your memory. Hallelujah. Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
We need this. This is a strength. This shakes things off of us. This stirs things up in us to help us to be able to advance in God's purpose for our life. We all want to fulfill God's purpose for our life. Nobody just wants to sit in a valley and have their time wasted and just get knocked around in life. We've had enough of that, right? I think we've all had enough of that to some degree, right? Let's get everything God's got for us. Let's get his best. Let's walk with a diligent spirit, with a spirit of excellence, being sharp as a tack or as a razor. Praise God, that's when you can really hurt the devil. You can really stick him, man. If your life is razor sharp, you just cut right through him. Devil is not a... See, when you're diligent, you're razor sharp, and you've made your decision, you're like the wind, the devil can't do anything against you. He can do nothing. He can't do anything. You just cut through him. That razor will just go right through him. You just razor sharp. You just walk down the road and you're hurting demons. You just cut a new path right here. You're just walking along, minding your own business, doing what you know to do. And you're just so sharp. It's like you know, if you hear in the spirit, you'd hear, ah! Oh, he's like, ah! You're sharp. You're sharp. Don't mess with me. One day I'm a razor. Sometimes I'm just a tack. You'd never worry about the devil's attack if you were sharp as a tack. I said, you never worry about the devil's attack if you are sharp as a tack. And bless God, diligence is sharp as a tack. Hallelujah. It's decisive. It knows where it's coming from. It knows where it's going. It's the boss in this world. And that's the blessed life. That's when we're going to see things get done. Can you say amen? Now, even though it's important to be decisive, we can't be hasty about what to do in life. We got to watch about being hasty. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Plenty, not lack, not barely enough. Plenty. Sometimes we have to look. And if there's just lack, 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 we have to look and say, have I been diligent? But a lot of times when there's lack, 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 people just blame it on the devil's attack. But that's just a sack. What we have to understand is that if we're diligent and as sharp as a tack, there'll be no pushing you back. And there'll be no lack. Now, sometimes lack really isn't lack. It's just deception. It's a trial. It's a test. And you got to be faithful and press through it. And as you press through it and God's able to prove himself faithful to you, then you will become more rooted and grounded in God, in the word, and thus more settled, more established in him. So sometimes it's just you got to press. It doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong with you, because the enemy will create all kinds of circumstances to try to intimidate you, to try to tell you, look, you're a mess up. No one thinks, look at your checking account. Doesn't that say everything? No. It doesn't say everything. You can't just react to circumstances or judge yourself based on your circumstances. So sometimes it's just you got to press through, but other times there's some areas of adjustment that need to be made. And we got to get ourselves on track and be determined to get as sharp as a tack. So he says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. So again, diligent here means decide, sharp. Hasty means, in the Hebrew, to be pressed, be narrow. These are other translations for it. To be pressed, be narrow, rash, Now, we have to understand, when we are pressed in life, and there's always things that try to press us. The Apostle Paul talks about over in 2 Corinthians 4, where he was hard pressed on every side. Hard pressed on every side. So there's always a pressing that comes. That's part of the trials and tests that we face in life. When you're feeling pressed, the first thing we need to do is not panic and try to figure everything out and try to save our lives. First thing we need to do, and we're being pressed, pray. And pray ourselves over into peace. Because we make our decisions in life out of peace. We don't make our decisions in life from panic. We don't do that. We don't make decisions out of panic. Panic is demonic, not diligence. People that are running around doing all kinds of things, panicking, are not being diligent. They're yielding to something demonic. And it's called fear. So we have to understand that. Sometimes it looks, oh, they're so diligent. You know, they're rushing, they're moving, they're hurrying, they're racing, they're on the go. But it's all pressure. Pressure. They're being pushed. They're being pressed to do things. And the things they're doing are rash. They're being actually narrow-minded. They're not being led by the Spirit of God. So when you're pressed, what do? Pray. You pray yourself into peace. And then out of peace, you make your decision. And that needs to be something we just get good at. That's what we do. Pressure comes, we pray. We don't just talk. We don't vent. We don't express our fears and our anxieties. That's not what we do. What do? We pray. We pray. It's the first thing we do. We pray. Whoa. You start feeling pressure? Pray. That's what we do. And you get yourself over into peace. And from the place of peace, then you'll be able to make the right decision. Rather than some kind of panicked decision. But fear is at the root of a lot of people panicking and a lot of people missing it. It's because of fear. In fact, the fear of missing it causes people to miss it. Sometimes people are paralyzed by fear and they're panicked and they're afraid of missing it. I'm afraid I'm going to miss it. I want to do the wrong thing. And they're so panicked about doing the wrong thing that they're doing the wrong thing by being panicked and in fear. So let's get out of that. Get out. It's unacceptable. We don't accept that in our lives. We are not going to yield to fear. We're not going to make decisions out of fear, out of a fear of missing it. We're not going to make decisions like that. Things become clear when you resist fear. You resist the fear. You got to resist it. And things will become clear. And things flow when you learn to just let go. Stop panicking. Stop hanging on so tight. Stop being so worried about it. Just let it go. Pray, and it'll flow. Life's a flow in the Holy Spirit. He's likened to a river. He's not likened to hiking. I'd rather go in the river than hike. You know what I'm saying? You got people that are hiking, they're going over the mountains and the rocks and the hills and they're through the trees and they got their machete and they're cutting their way through and everything. You know, you're just going down the river. I like that. It's a flow. Life will flow when you just let go. Stop panicking. Stop taking the cares of life. Stop worrying. Stop fearing. And start trusting by praying. Seeking the Lord. Staying close to Him. That's the key to the whole thing. That's the key to our diligence in life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm diligent.
I'm diligent.
I'm decisive. I make my decision. I'm settled on many things concerning the Word of God. I do what I know to do. And therefore I know everything I need to know when I need to know it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.